message in song. We will remember. Amen. Praise the Lord for those sacrifices that were made on our behalf. And well, we never want to take that for granted. Never, ever want to take that for granted. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and start into a message just a little way. I'll get into that message and then we'll segue into acknowledging our veterans here today and celebrating and commemorating them and their service to our country and their service to the Lord as well. So I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. This was an epistle that was written by the Apostle Paul to a church that he hadn't been to. It wasn't part of any of his missionary journeys, so there were believers here that he hadn't seen face to face. You see that as you look in chapter 3, but we're going to be in chapter 4. And I'm going to bring this forth as a Veterans Day message. Here in Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is winding this epistle down. He's writing this epistle from prison. He's in Rome. And he is giving some salutations from some very special believers to the church at Colossae. And so we'll go through that list here in chapter 4, verses 10, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. And he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to thy ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And then verse 18, as he finishes up here, his final words, he says, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. He says, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. So I want us to take a look at three little words at the end of the book here of Colossians, the end of this fourth chapter. Very easy to lose sight of, but yet there's a great message that are contained in these words. And those words are right there at the very end of this 18th verse, and that is, remember my bonds. Remember my bonds. You remember the Apostle Paul, as I mentioned a little bit ago, he wrote four epistles from a prison cell in Rome. And so he wrote this this epistle from a prison cell, and he says, remember my bonds. I'm bound for you. And I believe the Apostle Paul, because as I've read Paul and studied his character, I'm sure the Apostle Paul had a hard time writing those words. I think he might have resisted. Like, I don't want to draw attention to me, Lord. I don't want to write those words down. Obviously, the Lord inspired him to write these words. He didn't want to emphasize his chain. You know, the fact that he was chained, a chained prisoner for sympathy's sake. He didn't ever want to do that. You know the Apostle Paul if you've read and studied him through the Bible. But no doubt the Spirit of God said, write it down, Paul, write it down. I want my people to see the price that you are paying for them. But let it be known, Paul was not playing the martyr. He wasn't playing the martyr. Instead, he was glad to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, right there, let's go ahead and stop. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this message that I've titled, Remember My Bonds. Remember My Bonds. Father, we come to you today. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. What a blessing it is to gather together here in church. May we never take that for granted. Thank you for the liberties, the freedoms that we have in this country. Thank you for how you've blessed this country. And nearly 250 years old, we thank you, Lord, that we have the liberties that we do have. Lord, help us to never take them for granted. Help us to praise and thank you for what we have in Christ. Thank you for those of us here. I would hope it's every single person here. But we thank you, Lord, for the great salvation that we have in Christ. Thank you that you sent your Son to die on a cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made that incredible sacrifice on our behalf, that your precious blood was shed on that cross, that you were buried and you rose again, and you're a living Savior. You live in our hearts, and we thank you for that. Thank you that we can commemorate this great day. I know it's tomorrow, a Veterans Day, but we can commemorate it today, and I thank you for those who've served our country. Thank you for those that are here in this room, but all who have served our country all throughout its history. We thank you, Lord, for those who have that calling to protect our nation. And so we're excited about honoring them, about acknowledging them, and commemorating this great day. So we thank you for that. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and exalted in all of this. I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. I pray for anybody here without Christ, that you'll work in their hearts, show them how they need you as their personal Savior. So I pray that you'll do that. So thank you, Lord. I pray that you'd put me to the side, and I pray that you'd be able to do what you want to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Apostle Paul, you could see in his writings, in these epistles, that he was willing to give of his life for the Lord. And he was not ashamed to be called a prisoner for the Lord. He referred to himself a number of times as a prisoner of the Lord. In fact, he says here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And then the chapter before, in the very first verse, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So he was happy to be a servant, but not only a servant, a prisoner for the Lord. He rejoiced in that. You remember the Apostle Paul talked about how he took pleasure in infirmities. I mean, he wasn't a masochist. He wasn't that, but he delighted in the fact that he could suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. It says this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, and he's talking to the church at Philippi, the Philippian believers, he says, I'll read it again, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. I take joy in knowing that I'm being sacrificed for somebody else's good. Boy, might we reach that high ground, amen? That we would be willing, Lord, if I have to go through some suffering, if I have to go through something, if it'll benefit somebody else, then let me go through it, if it glorifies you and if it's a blessing to someone else. But that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. But now, just in this same sense that Paul willingly suffered and sacrificed for others, so too have there been some people in our lives who have put on some bonds on our behalf. And these individuals can also say, remember my bonds. I'm grateful for moms and dads who have done and continue to do so much for us. Amen? Sometimes being a parent can be a thankless job. But I think about the ongoing sacrifices that they make on a regular basis. And it ought to prompt us all to frequently thank them. I'm looking at some young people here. If you're older and your parents are still alive and you have an opportunity to thank them for the sacrifices that they made. Amen? Because they make plenty. You think about the things that our parents have done for us and some of the times when dad opened up his wallet and paid for something so that we could be a part of some sports program or we can get in this class or that class or we might have some kind of a... a blessing that they wanted to bestow upon us. There were sacrifices in incredible ways. Now, of course, there are always exceptions, and I heard about the fellow who read in the paper that it takes $12 a year to support a kid in Ethiopia, so he sent all of his kids there. Okay. All right, there are exceptions to that. But I don't think they're here in this room, all right? There are parents who've made sacrifices, and I think about the fact that they could say, remember my bonds. I'm grateful for the first responders of our communities. Amen? I'm grateful for them, those who respond in an ambulance or on a fire truck. I think of one time when, this was probably about 14, 15 years ago, and I'm looking for my daughter. There she is back there. You remember we were knocking doors in a neighborhood, and I think my wife was in another down the street knocking doors as well. And I think it was from playing softball, but I had like a pinched nerve in my hip, and I'm walking along with my daughter, and we're knocking on doors, and I just remember, I am in pain. I am hurting, but I went along, and it got to be so bad that after we knocked on the door and she continued to talk for a little bit, I kind of wandered over to the fence, the neighbor's, or that, how, that, those people's fence, and I stood there, and then Hannah came up and said, Dad, you're okay? And the pain was so bad, I just blacked out, and she caught me. That's why she has a limp to this day, probably, okay? She caught me, and man, I got down, I was down, and then my wife, she told my wife about it. They called 911, and they responded, and there was a paramedic there, and I'm sitting on this lawn, and these people are probably, you know, it was like, okay, you know what, you're making such a production, I'll come to church, you know? So they took my vitals, and everything was fine, and they left. But I was just grateful. Man, those paramedics, those guys were there, and they had responded. And I'm grateful for first responders. I'm certainly grateful for our police officers. Amen? Amen. You know, I'm all for funding the police officers. Amen? Who daily put their lives on the line to keep our community safe. Whenever they're parked out here, and I get an opportunity to just come alongside of them and just say, hey, how you doing? How's your day going? I just want you to know we pray for you, and we're just grateful for everything that you do. And, you know, they just downplay it because that's their duty. That's what they do. And I appreciate that. I appreciate so many who can say, remember my bonds. But it brings us to a select group of people that I want to give thanks to who can say, remember my bonds. And that's our veterans. What a blessing it is to honor them, isn't it? It's a great blessing to honor them. So tomorrow, which is Veterans Day, and well, really throughout this weekend, we're celebrating Veterans Day weekend. Veterans Day started out as Armistice Day back in 1919 after World War I had ended. And it began to be observed annually in 1926. That's when they began to do it or commemorate it on a yearly basis. And it became a national holiday in 1938. And then in 1958, it was changed from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. And so all these years later, we've had the opportunity to acknowledge our veterans. I think about some veterans in the Bible. I think about some faithful men. And I want you to just turn to 2 Samuel. And I won't read through this whole list, but 2 Samuel. I know David appreciated his men. He had 600 men, but there were 30 mighty men. Actually, 37 are mentioned in this passage. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verses 8 all the way to the end of the chapter is a list of these men that served David, and they served their country, and they served the Lord. And I'll just read just a little bit here in verse 8 of 2 Samuel 23. It says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. You know, I think after a while, with Eleazar, he was the son of Dodo. They probably, some of the bullies in the neighborhood, after they were making fun of his dad's name and they realized who Eliezer was and the kind of a warrior that he was, they probably like, don't make fun of his dad, okay? He'll take you out, all right? And then verse 10 says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. And I'll stop right there, but you can read on that passage all of those 37 men that are acknowledged as mighty men. They were great veterans that David so appreciated, and no doubt he acknowledged them, and they're acknowledged in Scripture. Well, we want to acknowledge our veterans here today from all five branches of the military, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and the Coast Guard. And so I want us to be able to acknowledge them and give honor to whom honor is due. Again, as Paul said, remember their bonds. Remember that they're just going to shrug it off and they're going to say, you know, it's just my duty. That was just my duty to serve my country. I love what David Livingston, who was the great missionary way back in former years, who was a missionary to Africa, and he was spoken of as making a great sacrifice. And he said this, people talk of the sacrifice that I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called sacrifice, which is simply paying back as a small part of the great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? He said, away with such a word, such a view, such a thought. I say rather that it is a privilege. And that's our veterans for you. They look at what they've done and how they've served our country, and they don't care for all the accolades. They just say, nope, I just did what I was supposed to do. But it leaves us to acknowledge that, amen, and to honor them. And so let's be grateful for all of our veterans for their past service and for those who are currently serving, men and women. So I want us to take the time right now, and I want us to have all of our veterans stand. Let's have all of our veterans stand. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I want you to remain standing. Let's go ahead and remain standing. And we're going to go ahead and take it from the back. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to introduce yourself. Tell us what branch of the military that you served in and for how long you served. And so we'll start with Brother Mike, all the way in the back. Brother Mike, would you start us off, and then we'll come over to Brother Dave, and we'll do everybody on this side, on this section to my left. Brother Mike. Amen. Thank you. Let's have some, we got some gifts that we want to give to you. And you know what? Let's just applaud after each one. I'm good with that. Whether. Thank you, brother. Brother Dave. Amen. Thank you. Okay, Brother Park.
I was served in the Army National Guard for 8 years back in the 50s, and I was a corporal and drove a tank. Had that privilege.
Amen. Thank you. The Petersons. Thank you.
Stan Peterson, 30 years Army, 1988 to 2008.
Thank you, brother.
Wilson Monk, United States Navy, from 89 to 93.
Thank you. I'm going to come right over to Brother Reg.
Amen.
Brother Larry.
Larry Ferrari,
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Payne. Thank you. Brother W.T.
W.T. Stevenson, from 1970 to 1976, United States Marine Corps, Rickman Service, and 1991 to 2011, United States Army.
Thank you, brother. And then if we come over here, I know, yes, Brother Victor? Amen. Praise the Lord. In the Army. Okay. Got to get that right. Amen. All right. And Brother Hunt. Thank you, brother. Okay, I don't want to leave anybody out. It looks like everybody got everybody? Everybody standing? All right. Let's give them all a big round of applause again. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you again to all of you again for all that you've done for our country. Listen, folks, our country is first and foremost great because of the great God of heaven. Amen? Amen? Yep. Through his divine providence and his incredible mercy, he's directed and kept us through all of these years, and just shortly, just another couple of years, we'll be 250 years old. Praise the Lord that he's watched out over this country, and he certainly guided from the inception of our country. There was just, boy, you know, it was like a, you know, what an underdog against, you know, Great Britain, yet God was in it, and God directed. But along with that, this nation is special because of the outstanding men and women who fought for what it stands for. The Lord has used them, amen? And I'm grateful for that. Individuals who stand for our flag, I'm grateful for what we have. I think about an image that I just saw here just in the last few days. Back in 1976, of course, I'm a Dodgers fan. Yay, go Dodgers, right? In 1976, it was a game in April at Dodger Stadium. Rick Monday was, I believe, yeah, he was a right fielder, and a couple of hoodlums, they came onto the field right behind second base. It was between innings, and people were probably like, what are they doing? And they had laid something out on the ground, and then they were doing some things, and well, what it was, they laid out an American flag, and one of them had some starter fluid, and they couldn't get the match lit, and Rick Monday, who was a Marine Corps reserve for 6 years, he saw what was going on, and he ran over and grabbed that flag before they could light it on fire. Yep. And it was just a great, great a scene. He said this about it: I did not want them to be able to desecrate an American flag that some of my buddies lost their lives for, representing the rights and freedoms that you and I enjoy. Amen. I stand for our flag, folks. Yeah, you know, a lot of people like the argument, oh, well, this country is this and that, and we're so divided, and it's, you know, it's so hypocritical. I stand for my flag. We're not perfect. No one's perfect. Our country is not perfect, but what it stands for, and those who gave their lives for this country, and those who've served this country, they deserve due honor. Amen. And so I stand for our flag. We know the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans, folks. It didn't just simply happen. Okay? It just didn't just simply happen. They came about because there were so many that were willing to answer the call to protect our nation. Again, thank you to all of you who answered that call to protect our nation. You and I have become the wonderful recipients as a result of it. It says in Psalm 33:12, we read this earlier, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But now let me speak for a few minutes on this topic of remember my bonds in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me speak about the bonds of our Lord and Savior. In 1 Peter, if you'll turn there, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 21 all the way through 25. I'll read verses 21 through 23 to begin with. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, God himself in human flesh, God who was manifest in the flesh. He came to this earth in order to suffer in our place, in order to give his life on our behalf. We were all doomed. The Bible says we had no hope in this life. But Christ gave his life. He gave his life as a ransom for us. He lived his life and fulfilled the demands of the law by never sinning once. He was a perfect Savior. He never sinned, yet he became sin for us. He became the transgressor in our place. What a great thing that he did that. Verse 24 talks about how he took our sins and he loaded them on his own shoulders when he went to the cross. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5 says this, or verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He did it, folks, so that we could live unto righteousness, so that we could be healed by his stripes. Because, folks, all we had, our own righteousness, was as filthy rags. Our righteousness was corrupt. It was vile. But he made it so that we could have his righteousness. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, the Bible says, "I now have the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. I'm surrounded. It has been given to my account. It is given to my credit that I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ." You know, when the Father looks at you, if you're saved here today, he sees you as righteous, fully righteous in his Son. That's a great thought, folks. And that's what the Lord did when he came and gave his life for us. And then verse 24, which I just made some comments about. I don't think I read it, but it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And I made those comments about that without reading that verse first, but that verse lays it out very, very clearly that he gave his life for us. And the beatings that he took were on our behalf, so that by his precious blood we can be saved and have everlasting life. It's just a great thing. I get to wake up every day and many times through the day and say, "Lord, I belong to you. And you love me, and I can now go to the Father and ask things through thy name, because his name has authority, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can now, I have access unto the Father." What a blessing it is. And I thank the Lord as often as I can. Thank you, Lord, that you gave your life for me. Thank you, Lord, that you cared about me. I've said it before, I believe it with all my heart, that if I... or you were the only person that ever lived, the Lord would have figured out a way to die for you and for me. And that's how much he loves us, that he willingly gave his life. God, the Lord of glory, left heaven's glory to come to this sinful, vile earth, become a little helpless, little innocent baby, was born to a virgin and lived a sinless life, and then willingly gave his life on the cross. He shrank back from it, but he knew that that was the Father's will, and he went through it. And he went through it for you and I. And I'm glad that he did. Would you have blamed him? And I certainly would not have blamed him if he would have said, "Nope, I'm not going to go through that." And he could have, he could have vaporized. He could have just destroyed his enemies just with the word of his mouth. Because with the word of his mouth, that's how he created the whole universe. You don't think that those measly soldiers were any threat to him? They certainly weren't. He laid himself on that cross and let them drive those nails through his hands and through his feet and take that spear and shove it into his side. He did that willingly, folks, for you and I. May we praise the Lord on a regular basis for what he's done. And then verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Isaiah 53, I read verse 5. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord Jesus Christ stepped right into harm's way so that you and I might be saved. He took that big hit for you and I. Praise the Lord that he did that. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that you'll think about that, that there was somebody who gave his life for you, and that was God himself. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he died for you this morning if you're here without Christ. And I say that because we would love to see you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If God is working on your heart and you're thinking about that, man, he died for me, but you're resisting that, if I can help you in any way and answer some questions, I would love to sit with you afterward and show you from God's word what it says and how Jesus gave his life for you so that you could be saved. And I know there's many others that would certainly be glad to show you what Christ did for us and how you can know that you have eternal life. Again, he lived that sinless life so that you and I could have everlasting life. He paid for all our sins when he went to that cross, folks. He died, was buried, and then he rose again. And he's calling out to you to accept that payment, to accept him as your personal Savior. For those of us who are saved, let's never forget his bonds. Let's never forget the sacrifices that he made. And then as I wrap this up, certainly, and I can come back to what this day signifies and why we're here today, let's give honor to whom honor is due for this fitting celebration to our veterans. Amen. Thank them today before you leave. Thank them for the service that they made. Thank you for serving our country and being willing to protect our country. I'd like us to bow our heads, and I want us to just simply be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. We're going to have an invitation hymn. And maybe this is a good time, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to simply just pray and talk to the Lord. Thank him for what he has done for us. I'm sure you do that on a regular basis. I do it as often as I can. I know I still fall short, but I thank the Lord for what he has done for me. Maybe this is just a good time for us to spend time with him, to thank him. You can come to the altar and do that. You can certainly do that where you're at. Maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. The Bible says that you can know that. You can know that you have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have everlasting life today if you're without Christ. You're saying, I need to get saved. I believe that he died for me, that he was buried, that he rose again. And all that you need to do is put your faith and trust in Christ. With your mouth, believe on him. With your mouth, confess, and with your heart, believe on him, and he will give you his righteousness. He will forgive you for your sins. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for this opportunity that we've had to gather together. It's always good to be around your people. It's always good to sing praises unto you. It's always good to open up your book. We thank you, Lord, for an added blessing today to be able to commemorate and to acknowledge a special group of peoples, veterans who have served our country, who answered a call. And Lord, they would shy away from any accolades or being noticed in any way. But we want to make sure, Lord, that we give honor to whom honor is due. And so we thank you for the bonds that they took upon them. Help us to remember their bonds Help us to remember the bonds that you took upon yourself when you came and died on a cross for our sins. Lord, help us to be grateful. Help us to be a grateful people. Thank you once again for your goodness and your mercies and for this opportunity that we have here today. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.